insurance? Talk to the experts at Facts and Figures Chartered Financial Planners. Phone 01233 722 922 or check them out at www.fffp.co.uk. Facts and Figures, independent financial advice everyone can follow. www.fffp.co.uk.
I'm off my jack, keep your hands off my stack.
Wave after wave of good music. This is Channel Radio.
Jobsinkent.com.
Supplymybusiness.co.uk. Find suppliers and quote for work locally. Try us free until 1st of May 2016.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk and ChannelRadio.co.uk. On this Tuesday, March the 8th, you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stockingly gorgeous Jill Sirkin.
Venom Tech have tweeted.
They have. They've tweeted their Venom of the Week, have
it,
they not?
Well, it is. The Venom of the Week is... Well, you needed a jingle. Venom of the Week.
Dun, 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 dun.
Is snake venom, which itself may hold the key to breakthrough in Alzheimer's disease, which was really, really exciting. Also, I believe snake venom could sort of give you a little lift, couldn't it? A little facial lift, which... Let's face it, listeners, Paul Andrews and
I think if you were bitten by a snake, it would probably lift you. You'd probably raise your stomach or other.
I think it might be bee venom.
But no. Interestingly, no, going back to seriously about,
Alzheimer's.
About snake venom and Alzheimer's, Steve or Sarah or whoever it is that's running the Twitter account has included a link. I actually read this report because I saw it on their Facebook page a day or so ago. And it's really fascinating stuff. Really fascinating stuff about the potential of snake venom with helping with Alzheimer's. Brilliant.
Lots of poisonous snakes when I was in. Did I tell you I was in India?
Were you in India?
Yeah.
Were you?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
There were places I didn't want to walk barefoot because lots of little snakes around.
I would have thought it wasn't just the snakes.
Quite big snakes. I'm going to read
something. Were they in baskets and stuff?
Oh, I hated that, yeah.
Did you see any snake charms?
When I went to the Ganges.
Ganges?
That's the correct pronunciation.
Ganges. Yeah.
No, it's the Ganges.
Ganges.
It is the Ganges.
Now,
We've changed it.
Now, that's a scout song. When I was in the scouts, we used to do that. Ging, gang, gooly, gooly, gooly.
It is actually the Ganges.
Yeah.
And so when I was there in Varanasi, I came up the little steps off after my Ganges ride on the boat at 5 a.m. to watch the sunrise, as you do.
Over the Ganges.
And this man came up and thrust, you know, this basket in my face, a little flat basket, and lifted off the lid, and this spitting cobra rose up and glared at me, and I just shrieked.
I bet he said,
"Not good, not good."
I bet he was scared. I bet never has that cobra ever encountered anything like that before.
No, spitting jewels.
I bet he's hidden at the bottom of his basket and refuses to come out.
Apparently, there's a story about that because I was saying how cruel it was, but because of the karma and because a lot of them are very into Buddhism, they only take those snakes from the jungle for about a year or 9 months, and then they return them to the jungle and get another one so that they're returning it. But I do think they take the venom away or something, or they take its teeth out or something. Do you know about that?
Nah.
Venom Tech will know.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of that. We've had a tweet from Eden Valley Chamber, and they say, Vanilla Web Business Bunker, please could you mention our free networking event, Eden Bridge, 17th of March.
Mm.
Eve Edenbridge, it's called. EVE Edenbridge, all one word, on the Twitter. Hosted by Handelsbanken. And if you go to their Twitter page, EV Chamber, it's the pinned tweet at the top of their Twitter page. That's EV Chamber. So that's the Edenbridge free networking event on St. Paddy's Day, 17th of March.
That'll cool. be good. That'll
so
be fab.
Get along to that.
Now, we've had a missile. What's it? Is it called a missile when you get
a missive?
A missive. What's a missile?
It's a thing that you fire out of a gun.
Or it could be a missile thrush.
Or mistletoe.
If your feet are bad.
Or mistletoe. Or just get on with it.
There's a cream for that, isn't there?
Yeah, probably.
Mistle thrush.
Yeah.
Dear Paul, with no mention of me, this is from the lovely Andrew Weaver, who I know loves me, but he's obviously missed me off.
Yeah, yeah.
Trust all is well. It's been a fantastic start, he says, to 2016. A quick note to say things are heating up here at lawyerfair.co.uk. They must have Samsung and gas in. we've been operating in startup mode for 18 plus months, but this year we've seen an amazing spike of activity as our free service gains greater marketing credibility and traction. Our mission to connect SMEs with the very best fit and the most cost-effective legal solution providers is proving very popular, they say. To assist this growth phase, they've appointed Julian Costley as chairman, and Julian is an ex-Thomson Reuters senior executive, and he was also founder CEO of eTrades UK, which moves stockbroking online in a similar way to our ambitions with legal procurement. This follows hot on the heels of Simon Mead, who's the ex-CEO at Eastern Enterprise Hub and also former eTrades UK. He joined in December as commercial director. Lawyer Fair is going places, and part of our success has been the support and referrals from our existing network. So well done. That's Andrew Weaver, CEO of Lawyer Fair.
Fantastic stuff.
Good
we've suddenly got a whole stream of tweets coming in now. I was saying earlier it was a bit slow, but they're surpassing themselves now. Cartridge World Kent, whose Twitter handle is CW Mid Kent, they say, Vanilla Web, our competition starts tomorrow. You could win a printer. Now, I don't know what you've got to do in this competition, so I suggest you follow CW Mid Kent and find out. What do you reckon?
I reckon Venom Tech's telling you off.
Oh, are they?
Apparently you've renamed one of their staff. He says, by the way, it's Sarah.
That's what I said.
What did you call her?
I said Steve or Sarah.
Oh, I thought you did as well.
Yeah. Yay.
He says,
take the snake out of your ears.
Oh, and it's Sarah. Maybe he means it's Sarah that's tweeting.
No, what
she means.
Yeah, no, what I said was I wasn't sure whether it was Steve, Sarah, or someone else that was doing the tweeting.
That's what I said, yeah. So it is
Sarah.
I
know who
tweeting.
Sarah is. It's Sarah Smith.
There you go.
Yeah.
Double S. Kent and Victor Chamber are running their Muesli Mafia. 7:30 to 9:30, including a full English. Members and
right, yeah, I see what she's saying. She wasn't saying I got it wrong. She was saying it wasn't Steve, it was Sarah.
Well, you've just said that.
Yeah, well, right, it's
we've moved on now.
It's you. You get it all confused,
no,
don't you?
No, we've moved on. I'm talking about Muesli. 7:30 to 9:30, including a full English. Members and non-members, £20 plus VAT. Next one is Friday the 11th of March at the Warren Sports Club in Bromley. And then Thursday the 17th of March at the Mercure Maidstone in Maidstone. Thursday 14th of April, the Royal Wells Hotel in Tunbridge Wells. Get down there, Muesli Mafia. Did you know, Paul Andrews, and I know you do really, I'm just trying to think of an unusual lead-in. Did you know, Paul Andrews, Neil, you might know, Neil Lakeland, 8 a.m. to 10:30, free to attend the new Lower Thames Crossing consultation. So Neil is looking excited. You're going to go, aren't you, Neil? Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce, Kent and Medway Economic Partnership and the South East Local Enterprise Partners are working together to help businesses learn about the options to put forward. Friday the 18th of March, Mercury and Maidstone Great Danes. We request that you bring your laptop or mobile device to the event so you can complete the survey before you leave. I guess most people have their little phone, won't they? So what do you know, Paul, what they're going to be talking about?
It's the options.
Yeah. What are the options?
I don't know because I've not been at the event. It's the options for where and what the Lower Thames Crossing is. Is it another tunnel? Is it another bridge? Is it at Dartford? Does it grow where they are? Do they move it somewhere else? All the options
are open. Our friend Charles Dance?
Yeah, yeah.
With the hair?
Yeah, yeah.
I met him.
The hair. That narrows it down to about 2 billion people.
Well, he's got an amazing head of hair.
Yeah.
So I met him at the Taste of Kent Awards. I think I ended the evening sitting on his lap. I can't quite remember. Or maybe he sat on mine, one of the
That could end a political career, that.
Do you mean Mark Dance?
Yeah, she does mean Mark Dance. Charles Dance is an actor.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, Mark Dance. So I was talking to him as I often do, about getting the ferry link across to from
the Woolwich Ferry.
From Whitstable, where I live, to Southend.
Oh, right, okay.
And all that, and get rid of this blimmin', you know, all that queuing at the Dartford Tunnel is ridiculous. And he's behind me.
Good.
We're going to do it.
Well, he would be if he was sat on his lap. Right, we've got to move on because we're kind of fast running out of time and we're getting dozens of tweets now. I've got a tweet from Cascade Julie, Cascade Insurance. Trying to listen in today, but the phone keeps ringing. And here's a bonus picture for Jules. And she sent you a picture of her new Labrador puppy.
Oh, yes, I love that dog.
Fruitworks, Fruitworks CO on the Twitter. Hi, Vanilla Webber and Jules Sirkin. Can we have a shout out, please, for our free event, Fruitworks Create, on Thursday, the 24th of March in Canterbury at 6:30 p.m. onwards. Thank you. So do consider yourself shouted out. If you want to find out more about that, you can go to Fruitworks website, which is Fruitworks, www.fruitworks.co. And we've also had a tweet from the lovely Organic Sisters, Caroline and Liz.
Well, what are they saying?
Good morning, they say, with
good
a picture
mooning.
Of a cow. Yeah, from your Kent Organic Sisters. We're listening to the Business Bunker Show. That's Riverford underscore Kent. The Organic Sisters and deliverers of
organic
food and drink
and pantry
to your workplace or your home.
Yeah, now aren't they wags for thinking good mooning?
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
It's very amusing, don't you?
Yeah, Shirley Mansfield.
Amusing.
Shirley Mansfield of Coach SME has tweeted, "Have a great Business Bunker Show today, Villanueva. It's not long until International Men's Day."
She's usually on the golf course about now, isn't
Absolutely,
she?
Absolutely, yeah.
And NAG, New Appointments Group, they say a big shout out, please, to our Sittingbourne and Sandwich offices, beavering away, placing people in jobs.
Fantastic. Good stuff.
Did you see Lisa Settle's been on?
Has she? What
did
she say?
She says, did you know that Telcare have a business breakfast on the 22nd of March at Cote Brasserie? Yummy, full English. I did know.
We've got an email to read out about that.
Well, I did know. And, you know, it's in my diary.
Absolutely. But we've got an email. I think you've got it. An email to read out about that with all the details, which we're going to read out in a moment.
I'll have a look.
Absolutely. But do you know what I want to do now?
Are you going to interview someone?
Yeah. I want to play you a recorded interview.
Mm.
This is the ninth in our series of the 10 traits of successful entrepreneurs in association with Big Associates and the University of Kent Business School. In this episode, we are talking to Professor Mark Gilman of Birmingham City University and Dr. Luke Fletcher of Brighton University about the trait engager. Now, before I play this to you, I do have to apologise. The quality of this is a bit rubbish. We recorded this in a three-way Skype and the internet wasn't too brilliant. I've tried to do as best I can with it, so do persevere with it. But it's a fascinating interview. Have a listen to this. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show. I'm joined now for the next in our session of BIG Associates Top 10 Traits of Successful Small and Medium-Sized Enterprises. And I'm joined today by Professor Mark Gilman and Dr. Luke Fletcher. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon, Paul. Afternoon, Paul.
Hi. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. In today's episode, we want to explore the traits.
No, it's a pleasure once again. Just say it was a pleasure, Paul.
Okay, right. So, today we're going to explore the trait engager. So I'd like to kick off by asking you both what that actually means to you.
Well, Paul, in the research that we did to actually look at the engager, what we did was largely look at the areas of involvement and participation and giving employees and others within the company a voice in decision making. So we largely concentrated on that, but I'm sure, as Luke will tell you, engagement is a much more complex issue, and I don't know whether you want to add to that, Luke.
There's various concepts of engagement. So my kind of angle on it is looking at the experience of engagement from the individual person, so the employee's experience of engagement as a kind of psychological state. But Mark's work is more about how the business involves and engages people within its processes and practices.
Yeah. So some of the things that we're actually finding, Paul, is that when organisations were engaging their employees and even people within their supply chain, they tended to achieve much higher profits, they tended to be much more customer focused, and they tended to be able to retain their skilled staff. So there's a lot of positives that are related with engaging employees.
Okay, so let me kind of make sure I understand where we're coming from on this. So basically, it's about management talking to their people, understanding their views, understanding how the work impacts them on the front line, and asking for their help and advice and those kind of things. Is that how it works?
Yeah, I mean, at a simplistic level, that is what is engagement about. I don't know whether Luke, whether you want to add to that from the, you know, the work design and those kind of perspectives.
Yeah, so kind of we can sort of think about people feeling engaged. That's really about kind of people feeling enthusiastic, focused, and kind of energized in their work that they're doing. And there's quite a lot of research that looks at kind of how that comes around in terms of the work that they're doing and the design of that work. So it could be around helping people feel more in control about how they pace their work and how they put their different parts of their work tasks together. So there's evidence about feeling personal in personal control, and also about feeling that their work is meaningful. So it kind of taps into kind of being involved and feeling kind of enthusiastic about what they're doing.
Absolutely. So you know, so basically it's about bringing in frontline staff, making them feel valued, making them feel listened to, making them feel that they're contributing to the overall culture of the organisation.
And you know, that then feeds into the performance in the organisation. I mean, the area is not without its challenges, because it is often strange to some entrepreneurs and owner managers to kind of manage in that way. So there's a, you know, an all different learning process that needs to go on. Mm-hmm. And also it's part of some of the other big 10 that we've talked about in the past, you know, about the strategy that you use in your organization, about the delegation, and about the learning in the organization.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I totally see where you're coming from on that. You're right. You know, one of the things about us entrepreneurs is we tend to be a little bit dogmatic sometimes and think that, you know, we have to do everything and run everything. So I totally get where you're coming from and why it's so valuable from both perspectives, actually, because I can see that there's value to be added to the business from taking input from those people that at the end of the day deal with our customers on a day by day, minute by minute basis, basically. So I guess those are the kind of benefits that you're seeing from your research. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, the sad state of affairs though, Paul, is that, you know, some of the research that has been carried out shows that, you know, well over two-thirds of employees feel disengaged in the organisations that they work in. So, you know, we've got a long way to go to move into this situation where companies engage their employees in helping them improve their performance. We know that, you know, performance improvement does come from engagement, but there are very few companies that are taking it on board.
Okay. I can see that, and I agree with you totally that that is a very worrying thing, that leaders of businesses don't seem to appreciate how powerful this could be. From your point of view, both Mark and Luke, do you think that's because entrepreneurs just don't see the value in it, or is it because they don't have a process for making it happen, or is it a combination of both?
From my own perspective, I think it's a combination of both. It's almost a leap of faith, really, when you're talking about engagement. You're saying, you know, go to the trouble of engaging your employees, put new systems and processes in. You know, entrepreneurs are busy people, and unless they can see solid results happening from that, as in terms of 2 and 2 equals 4, it's very difficult to kind of jump on board with it. But I think once people go through the kind of strategic mental barriers of understanding it, then they see the deep benefits about it. I don't know what your research was saying on that, Luke.
I would say yes, I would agree with that. And I'd say that I think when it comes to business leaders and kind of entrepreneurs, they want to see results straight away. And sometimes that doesn't really happen as such with engagement, because it's a lot, it needs to be kind of a long vision approach, a more long term strategy about how you connect with your employees and how you involve them in a wider sense with decision making and things like that in the organization. And I think that often is a more complex aspect, and it doesn't necessarily have tangible results straight away. So it needs to have a bit of patience and a bit of kind of, okay, what is working, what isn't working, and kind of adapting that across kind of a year or 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, it strikes me, listening to both you guys telling us about the results of your surveys here, that one of the issues here is maybe for business leaders to have a clearer idea of why and what it is they're actually doing with engagement. Because for me, I mean, I think it's a bit of a no-brainer. I mean, why would you not want to get your staff on board as part, you know, part of the culture, working as a team, pulling in the same direction, talking to each other, understanding what's going on? For me, that would seem to be one of the early benefits. And I appreciate that in the longer term, there are other benefits and business benefits to be gained. But I would think that there's benefits right up front of a slightly different type about team building and, you know, building the culture and the support. And also, as an entrepreneur myself and running a small business, I'm incredibly aware that a business relies on normally quite a small number of staff in a small business, and therefore we need people to be flexible and helpful and on board. And I can't see why an employee would do that if they don't feel engaged in the business. Do you have any thoughts on that, guys?
Well, I think that's right, Paul. I mean, it's one of those areas where, as you say, in some ways, when you look at it, it's a bit of a no-brainer. And there are fast wins. You know, there are continuous improvements that you can make. I think where both employees and employers find it difficult is that it is not just something that you can say, oh, we're now involving you, without actually explaining to people what that means and that it's a different way of working. So I think a lot of entrepreneurs and owner managers, once they go through that process, once they kind of start talking to their employees and explaining that this is a different way of working and that everybody will get the benefits of it, then it starts to work really well. But if you just say, you know, you're now involved and you're now delegated to, most people think, ooh, what's happening here? And they find it very strange. So, you know, quick wins, but there are these processes of educating each other about what it needs to get there.
Absolutely. And by the same token, I'd like to ask you both your thoughts on this. I've kind of focused on the leadership angle of this. But so what, in your surveys and in the work that you've done and the research that you've done, have you come across employee attitudes that are, well, it's not our job to get involved in this, it's the management's job, we're just here 9 to 5 to do what we're asked to do? Is that something that's...
We do. You know, if it's traditional companies that have been managed in traditional ways, then employees find it very difficult to move away from that mentality. But we also have examples of companies that we work with where the employees have embraced it. You know, we've had examples where we put computer technology onto production lines that help employees to monitor what is going on, and they've clearly embraced it and have asked for, you know, more education from the company about how to use the technology and want more input into, you know, how to continuously improve how the line works better, all of those kinds of things. And I'm sure, Luke, your research was in a number of different organisations, and I think you found similar types of things.
Yes, I would say that it's kind of about creating this genuine respect between people within the organisation, and if people if employees are going, well, I just do my job 9 to 5 and I go home, then that tells you a bit about how they view the relationship between themselves and their employer. And actually, there might be something there that needs working on, that developing that trust and that kind of that value between the two. So it might be things around dealing with maybe there's a trust issue with management, or whether there's because I think what I've seen in my research is that most people want to come to work, and especially with small businesses, I found that they really felt part of a family and part of a community. And if you can kind of strengthen that thing, then that's the element that kind of makes people feel more connected and want to do more, and feel kind of that they will do more for the organisation. They're proud of the organisation. So I think it's around building this kind of trust and this family aspect of small businesses that really is quite important.
Absolutely, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. That's absolutely true, Luke. I'm going to ask a kind of difficult question now, and I realise that. So, you know, I'm happy if we can't particularly answer it. But from both of your perspectives, is there a process that, so people listening to this saying, do you know what, I need to engage my employees more. A small business, 4 or 5 employees, is there a set of steps that people can start to think about to look at this process? Or is it something that has to be tailored in a customised way to suit the organisation?
I think there are certainly some simple steps that you can take. The first of them, Paul, would be opening the communication channels. So establishing communication which is between everyone in the organisation, because we often know that we think we communicate even in small organisations with, 5 to 10 employees. But what tends to happen is you communicate individually. You give each individual maybe different perspectives on the same communication. So to try and, establish a set of meetings, which may be once a month, just to start discussing things, just to open the channels up, just to get people trusting each other. As Luke said, I think trust is very important. Absolutely. Trust, openness, communication, and then I think you can start building it together. What's your opinion, Luke?
No, I'd agree. I think it's about creating this kind of mechanism where it's not just the business leaders or the senior management team kind of basically saying, or the entrepreneur saying, this is what I think will help you be engaged, and this is imposing my own view on it. I think it's about creating this kind of mutual bottom up, top down approach where you're kind of involving people in, okay, what is it that makes this organisation special? How do doing my job connect with you as on the kind of leading force in the business? So it's about kind of creating this dialogue between everybody rather than having a kind of management meeting where the entrepreneur, the chief exec, kind of sits there and says, this is what I think and this is how you're going to be engaged. So it's about creating this dialogue.
Cool. No, absolutely. Gentlemen, thank you so much for that. I know that what we normally do with these interviews, as well as the audio interview, we will have a blog up soon to go with it, where we can explore this in a little more depth. But for the moment, I'd like to say a huge thank you to Professor Mark Gilman and Dr. Luke Fletcher and BIG Associates for their fascinating insight into the trait engager. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show today.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. Many thanks.
Cool. And we'll see you again soon.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. It's that time in the show where we do the Federation of Small Business news update. Jules.
Oh, sorry, I just had to get you out of the loo.
I know.
I was going to go and start doing all the controls, wasn't I, Neil? But then I thought you might tell me.
Hijack my seat and all that.
Yeah. The financial penalties come into force from April 2016 for employers who fail to pay tribunal awards. And the government has confirmed that it expects Section 150 of the Small Business Enterprise and Employment Act 2015 to come into force from April 2016. Section 150 amends the Employment Tribunals Act of 1996 to enable financial penalties to be imposed on employers who fail to pay either an Employment Tribunal financial award or an ACAS, A-K-A-S, conciliated settlement sum. Yes, so that sounds very interesting.
Cool. Ratepayers have been invited to be notified of draft rateable values. Business ratepayers in England and Wales can register their email address in order to be notified when draft rateable values are published in September 2016. The Valuation Office Agency expects to publish the updated rateable values on the 30th of September as part of the 2017 revaluation, and we'll be making them available online only. The revaluation involves an assessment of the rateable values of all business premises in England and Wales, and finalised rateable values and new business rates will come into force from the 1st of April 2017. I wonder which way they'll go.
Sorry, I'm just...
Upwards. Rateable values.
I'm just... yes, they probably will. I'm just texting...
Oh, they definitely
I'm
will.
I'm tweeting Telcare.
Canterbury City Council put up their business rate, added a bid levy and taken away all the car parks. Yay, let's hear it for them.
I know.
And don't even get me started on Ashford Council and their ridiculous refuse collection.
Oh, I know. Tell me about it. What do they leave?
I got one of their horrible notes yesterday when they came to collect my bin saying, we're not emptying this because it's not got the right thing in it.
What was in it?
What it had in it was six plastic bags.
Right.
That was it.
And really?
It was plastic bag recycling bin.
Oh, that's
so I've no idea what they thought
was
in it.
Well, you know what CCC did to me, Canterbury City Council. They would not take. It was Christmas, so I had a big thing, you know, of cardboard.
Turkey buns.
They would not. It was all neatly folded up by my red bin, which is for paper only. Mm. But it wouldn't go in my red bin because it was quite tall. But I'd folded it flat and lent it neatly and wedged it so it wouldn't blow anywhere. And they sailed off and wouldn't take it. So I tweeted them and they said, oh, they should have done. And then they came back to me and they said, oh, it should have been crushed up. And, you know, I mean, I'd folded it. And so I said, oh, can't your four bin men manage to pick it up then unless it's crushed up, you know, and lob it in. And then they went silent.
Yeah.
But then I left it out the following fortnight and they took it. So there's no rhyme or reason. It just depends on their mood.
Yeah, it's nonsense. Normally, most of the time, Ashford's refuse people throw the refuse all over the road and over my front garden anyway.
They do.
So they don't take it anywhere.
And also, while we're talking, can we have another programme just on refuse? Because what gets my goat is I've now got four bins. Why can't I just lob all the recycling in one and they sort it out? They've got to sort it the other end anyway. Why can't I put plastic, glass and paper in one lovely bin instead of having four? If you live in a flat, how can you have four bins?
Yes. That was a good rant, wasn't it?
I know.
We enjoyed that.
Got my goat.
Yeah. Let's kick a
council. Were you on FSB?
Yeah, yeah. We were.
I've still got to read Telcare's thing. And you didn't
we can do that after the FSB.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll stick to your plan.
It helps. Councils will gain control over Sunday trading. Local authorities in England and Wales will have the power to create zones with extended opening hours on Sundays. Business Secretary Sajid Javid has announced during the second reading of the Enterprise Bill. The devolution of Sunday trading rules is expected to give a boost to local high street traders competing with online retailers. Shop workers in larger stores will have the right to opt out of working on Sundays on religious grounds or for family reasons. The notice period they are required to give to their employers will be reduced from 3 months to 1 month, and shop owners will have a duty to inform their workers of these rights. Jules.
International Women's Day event is the 9th of March, that's manana, 10 to 2:30 at the Chilston Park, Kent Sandway, which is in Lenham, Maidstone. Mm-hmm. Remind me, Neil, never to eat biscuits in the break, please, because I'm...
Them stuck in your teeth,
got
have you?
Got croaky now.
And you got the painter's teeth in anyway, haven't you?
Gender parity is their theme. How does she do it? That's showcasing and celebrating female role models in Kent International Women's Day event. And the guest speakers are Catherine Spencer. She's the former England rugby captain. How does she do it? Succeeding in a male-dominated sport. Well, she probably loves a scrum. And Susanna Schofield, OBE. How does she do it? Balancing running her own business, commercial and innovation director of the Royal Mail, Family Life, Mind the Gap. That was her book, as my lovely co-presenter told me last week.
Absolutely. I'm seeing Susanna for dinner on Thursday night.
Susanna Schofield.
I am indeed.
Does she know you're on a diet?
I'll probably tell her.
Have some vegetables.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe a slice of protein, a little bit of chicken or something.
Thank you for that.
Maybe
charities are now able to file accounts online with Companies House.
Neil. That's good.
Charities are now able to submit their accounts digitally with Companies House after a successful consultation carried out by the Charity Commission and the Financial Reporting Council. The consultation was about proposed updates to the charity taxonomy. Or the classification system that Companies House uses to identify and analyse pieces of financial data in accounts. The updated taxonomy now meets the requirements of the charity SORP and Financial Reporting Standards FRS 102. Of course it does. Which the Commission claims will make the filing of accounts quicker and easier. Currently around 70% of companies already file their accounts online with Companies House, but this was not an option for charities until the new taxonomy was introduced. So you can now do it digitally, which will save you time. You can pay your taxes far quicker.
New data protection self-assessment tool, the ICO, has launched a self-assessment tool to help small business owners assess their compliance with the Data Protection Act. The assessment covers the key obligations that small firms have when processing their customers' personal info, as well as providing links to relevant guidance. The new toolkit can be completed as one comprehensive assessment, or it can be assessed as separate checklists so users can adapt it to their individual business needs. You can find more info at ico.org.uk.
Cool.
There's a new dispute resolution. You shut your mouth then. Platform for consumers and traders, Paul Andrews.
Is there?
Yes. The European Commission has launched a new online dispute resolution, the ODR platform, that will enable consumers and traders to settle disputes relating to both domestic and cross-border online sales without going to court. The ODR will also use national alternative dispute resolution ADR providers that are connected to the platform. In the UK, this includes the Retail Ombudsman, the Property Ombudsman. I love that word, ombudsman.
You could say that. It's better than an inaugural ombudsman, isn't it?
I know. You wouldn't want one, would you?
No.
And the Federation of Master Builders. ODR is part of the EU Directive on Alternative Dispute Resolution for Consumer Disputes, which came into force in 2015. All online traders selling goods, services and digital content to consumers must provide a link to the ODR platform from their website in emails and in their T&Cs, although traders are not obliged to use ADR unless it's compulsory in their industry. They are required to provide notice of the ODR platform. So that's actually quite important, Paul Andrews.
Cool. Government confirms proposals to tackle worker exploitation. The government has now issued its response to its consultation, which took place towards the end of last year, on tackling exploitation in the labour market, and it's announced that it will enact a series of proposals to crack down on worker exploitation. Among other matters, the government will reform the Gangmasters Licensing Authority to become the Gangmasters and Labour Abuse Authority, with stronger police-style enforcement powers. They'll introduce a new type of enforcement order supported by criminal offence for non-compliance, and the labour market enforcement bodies will have the power to require a business where there is reasonable belief that a labour market offence has been committed to enter into an undertaking to prevent further offending. The enforcement bodies will be able to apply to a court for an enforcement order where a business had refused to give or failed to comply with an undertaking. Breach of the order would be a criminal offence with a maximum custodial penalty of 2 years. The government has also said they retain the existing powers between HM Revenue and Customs and the National Minimum Wage Team, the Employment Agency Standards Inspectorate and the Gangmasters Licensing Authority. Blimey, how many of them are there? To enable enforcers to continue to share information relating to specific cases. In addition, it will create gateways between the new Director of Labour Market Enforcement, the three Labour Market Enforcement bodies, other bodies and the intelligence hub. The hub will coordinate data which will be used to develop the annual strategy plan for labour market enforcement.
New national insurance guide has been published, and the HM Revenue and Customs, the HMRC, I noticed Nurse Liz has gone very quiet at this part, listening to all these, has published a new guide for employers to assist with the new National Insurance Contributions relief for apprentices who are under the age of 25. The changes, which come into force from the 6th of April of this year will result in employers not having to pay Class 1 National Insurance Contributions on earnings of apprentices below $8.27 per week. This is provided that the apprentice is under 25 and is following an approved apprenticeship programme. In order to apply for the National Insurance Relief, employers need to provide evidence to HMRC, such as a written agreement between the employer, the apprentice and the training provider, confirming the apprentice is on an approved scheme and the start and end date of the apprentice.
Cool. Once again, we did read this out last week, but I wanted to make you aware of it again. Dragon's Den, the BBC have been on again. We are looking for applications from those that have current businesses and may be interested in applying to pitch for potential investment from the Dragon's Den. Dragon's Den is a challenging place to pitch. It's also a genuine business opportunity to secure investment. In Series 13, there were 24 entrepreneurs who accepted offers in investment in a den worth a combined £1.5 million, with plenty more achieving success after taking on board the Dragon's advice. If you'd like to apply to appear on the Dragon's Den, you can email for an application form by emailing dragonsden@bbc.co.uk.
Access to finance for small firms has improved, say the FSB. Venture capital and private equity investment in small and medium-sized enterprises grew by 43% in the year to October 2015, according to a recent report published by the British Business Bank. The alternative finance sector lenders, such as peer-to-peer platforms and challenger banks, saw lending rise sharply by 75% to $1.6 billion. The report has also indicated that the four largest banks accounted for 80% of the small business loan market in 2014, with 56% of smaller firms aiming to increase their turnover during this year, 2016. There is demand for more scale-up funding. According to the report, UK startups are less likely than those in many other countries to grow to more than 10 employees, and this poor scale-up performance is a significant factor in the UK's productivity slump.
Cool.
Are we still in a productivity slump?
Yep. There's a two-year plan to increase the take-up on R&D tax relief. HM Revenue and Customs has announced a two-year plan to increase take-up on research and development tax relief among small firms. Measures will focus primarily on increasing awareness and making it easier for firms to apply for this type of tax relief. For example, HMRC will publish improved guidance to help increase firms' understanding of R&D tax relief and provide business certainty through the Advanced Assurance Scheme. Under the Advanced Assurance Scheme, which was launched last November, HMRC will assure eligible firms that their first year, 3 years of R&D tax relief claims will be allowed without inquiry. You can find out more about this by going to www.gov.uk/government-boost-for-small-business.
A voluntary code to protect business broadband users, Ofcom is inviting internet service providers to sign its voluntary business broadband speeds code of practice, which provides business users with a similar level of protection to that enjoyed by consumers. The code will be effective from 30th of September of this year, and it requires signatories to provide business users with transparent and accurate pre-contractual information about broadband speed, and to provide further information within 7 days of the sale. Where speed problems cannot be resolved, business users must be allowed to cancel their contract without incurring a penalty. Hear, hear.
Thank you.
Channel Radio News Update.
That concludes this week's FSB News Update. But we've still got loads of emails and we've still got loads of tweets coming in. I did have a tweet just a while back from Gemma at Orchard Employment Law, Gemma Fairhay on the Twitter. And she says, I'm all for employee engagement. Communication can do wonders. Could you give me a shout out for Orchard Employment Law, please? Of course we can, Gemma. You can follow Gemma on the Twitter at Gemma Fairhay, all one word, J-E-M-M-A-F-A-I-R-H-A-Y, Gemma Fairhay.
Telcare's Business Breakfast is on Tuesday the 22nd of March, 7:40 a.m. to 9:45. It's at the Cote Brasserie in Bluewater. The guest speaker is the lovely Hilary Steele, of potato fame as well. The cost for this breakfast is, which is a full English, $17.50, and it includes your tea and coffee. And also...
And black pudding.
Probably. Well, doesn't mention
I'll
that.
I'm just checking.
Will there be black pudding or white pudding? With a donation from the ticket price going to support Lisa, who is Lisa Settle, who is going on the charity bike ride from Vietnam to Cambodia in aid of Women v Cancer. If you would like to know more about any of these things, you can contact Lisa at Telcare, lisa.settle, that's S for sugar, E-double-T-L-E, at telcare, T-E-L-care, .co.uk, and you can tweet them on Telcare Limited, LTD. Also, Amanda Flanders at Butterflies and Dream Events. You'll find them at Butterflies 2019. Tickets are also on Eventbrite Telcare Business Breakfast. So that sounds great.
Cool.
Call up Paul Andrews.
Mm. I met Amanda the other day for the first time at a Kelly Tollerhurst event. Really lovely lady. I've got the Wadhurst Business Hub. Have a spring networking event on Monday the 11th of April at the Greyhound from 6:30 in the evening. Join us on Monday the 11th of April for our next networking evening, a chance to catch up with friends and meet some new members. This year we want to make WDBA more of a community hub, so where better to meet than the pub? By the way, Claire Witts of Tunbridge Wells Mums in Business fame and I have just launched a business school for small businesses in Tunbridge Wells and the surrounding area, and you can check it out by going to the website, which is www.growthsteps.co.uk. www.growthsteps.co.uk. Look forward to seeing you in April, and that's from Mark Ballet.
Bet they can't keep cats in the Greyhound pub.
Bet they can't.
Chase instinct.
Or hares.
Unless it's a jugged hare.
Mm-hmm.
Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce have a free breakfast networking sponsored by Cripps. Now, I met the lovely Cripps. They were all at the Taste of Kent Awards, of course.
Yeah.
8 o'clock to 9:30 a.m, including a full English. And they are talking about demystifying contracts for East Kent businesses. The guest speaker is Irfan Balush of Cripps. I hope I've said his name right. B-A-L-U-C-H, Balush. And it's Thursday the 21st of April at Canterbury College in Canterbury.
Fantastic.
Laura's Ball. Have I got time for this? Yes,
yeah,
I have.
Go for it.
Raising money for breast cancer in Kent. It's Saturday the 8th of October. So this is a diary date, Bunker listeners, and it's at the amazing Leeds Castle. The breast cancer charity event is... funding state-of-the-art equipment for the breast care units at Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells hospitals. As part of the fundraising plan, they're organising a spectacular ball at Leeds Castle and looking for sponsorship from Kent companies to support this life-changing charity. So they're trying to buy loads of equipment that the NHS just can't afford, and they're also funding well-being programmes for aftercare. The story of the ball's name is Laura was a very young lady who became such a dear and valued committee member. She came up with the idea of a ball in 2014. She organised this for us whilst battling her second round of breast cancer. From her bed in the hospice, she dreamed of doing it again in 2015. Sadly, Laura lost her battle with breast cancer in the autumn of 2014. We now hold the ball in Laura's memory. So that's a lovely, lovely idea. You have lots of different sponsorship opportunities. You can part sponsor. You can host the reception drinks. You can also have a table, of course. And you can have a VIP table as well with champagne and wine and everything else. Lots of different options to sponsor. So I suggest that you contact Helen Tear, T-E-A-R-E. She's on helen@teare.eu. There is a number which is 07736649524. 07736649524. Or just come on to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and you'll find all the details.
You will indeed. Kent Invicta Chamber, after hours networking, 6 p.m. until 7:30 p.m. No need to book, just turn up. Where can you find your next new client? These popular and highly successful casual networking events are coming to a venue near you. And the following is where they will be held next. The following Wednesday, the 16th of March, it's at the Metro Bank in Tunbridge Wells. So that's a chance to actually see a new bank store as well. At the Metro Bank in Tunbridge Wells. And on the same night, Wednesday the 16th of March, at Canterbury College in Canterbury. Then on Tuesday the 29th of March, it's at the Great Danes Hotel Maidstone, that's at Hollingbourne, just on Junction 8 of the M20. Tuesday the 5th of April, at the Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre in Dartford. I went there the other day.
Did you?
Yeah, they've got some fantastic resources there. They've got a brilliant room, like meeting room thing, with where you can write on the walls and all kinds.
Oh, I love that sort of thing.
Really,
don't
neat.
You?
Yeah,
go
it's
wild.
Really brilliant. It's really brilliant. So that's on Tuesday the 5th of April at the Nucleus Business Centre in Dartford. And then on the same night, Tuesday the 5th of April, at the Conningbrook Hotel in Ashford. If you want to find out any more about these things, but you can just turn up without booking. But if you want to find out any more about it, if you go to kentinvictorchamber.co.uk/events. Jules.
Mastering the Markets is a free trading seminar. This is about, it's going to be at the Eastwell Manor Hotel, which is another stunning venue. Mm. The 15th of March, which is a business bunker day. It's a Tuesday. It's from 6:30 to 8:30. Eastwell Manor Hotel, which is in Boughton Leys near Ashford. And the person to phone or the place to go is thestophunter.co.uk. That's Stop Hunter. And the phone number is 01227, which is a Canterbury code, 811731. And it's a Mastering the Markets free trading seminar, Tuesday the 15th of March at the Eastwell Manor Hotel.
Cool. Just want to tell you about some B2B events that are coming up in the next months. Of course, there's this week on the 10th of March, the West Kent B2B that we mentioned earlier, which is at the Hop Farm at Paddock Wood. And then we have the full-blown Kent B2B, the big one, at the Ashford International Hotel on the 26th of April. And then the North Kent B2B on the 29th of June. And that's at Buckmore Park, the kart circuit just outside Chatham. And then on the 1st of November, we have the East Kent B2B, and that's at the Lees Cliff Hall in Folkestone. If you want to find out any more about these things, they've got a rather snazzy website, which is Kent B2B. That's the letter B, the number 2, and the letter B. So kentb2b.sendmedetails.com/thinkingofexhibiting. That's cool, isn't it? How cool is that?
I wanted to say thank you to Julie at Cascade Insurance, the lovely Julie, because she's sorted out my new husband with the critical illness thing cover, because he's got his own business. We thought that was a good idea, and she was spot on. And also Dakota Blue Consulting have just tweeted in saying, "Hi, you lovely people." They obviously mean me, not you. And they say, "Great show as always. Would love a great shout out for Dakota Blue HR. Thank you."
That's the lovely Jackie Brooker.
It is.
Dakota Blue HR, and thank you for joining us on the show.
Thursday 24th of March, there's a pay-per-click introductory, 10 to 4 p.m, £150 plus VAT for members, and that's Kent Invicta Chamber.
Cool. Well, we're just about at the end of the show.
Did I pick you the post?
You did indeed.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. I don't mind. I'll live with it. Coming up on channelradio.co.uk for the rest of the day, at 4 o'clock, we have the absolutely gorgeous Natalie Benangs, who I'm looking at right at this moment,
mais
but she can't hear me at the moment. She's working away, getting her show schedule ready.
She's looking very diligent.
Yeah. But Natalie will be on with the Kent Creative Live Show at 4 o'clock, talking about all things creative, artistic, and so on and so forth in Kent. And we look forward to that fabulous show at 4 o'clock. That's followed at 5 o'clock by the man in the stripy socks, the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery.
Already a queue forming.
Yeah, he's on from 5 until 7, and he'll be talking a mixture of music and entertainment.
Has he recovered from his little Indian tummy?
No.
Still looking gaunt?
No, he's not very well at the moment, actually, and he's got to toddle off to the little...
toilet?
No, Tropical Medicines Hospital.
Yeah, I told
to
him.
To have a check out what he picked
him.
Up in
he's,
India.
He's got a little amoeba.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, Craig will be on at 5 o'clock from 5 till 7, and that is followed at 7 p.m. by...
Welcome all.
Lovely Jamie Andrews.
The lovely Jamie Andrews with 18 tracks of unsigned, new and up-and-coming music. He's on from 7 till 9. And then at 9 o'clock, we have our comedy and music show, I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet. And that, we round off the evening at 10 o'clock with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Cool drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So we round off the evening on Channel Radio with the wonderful Boy George and the Club Culture show. I just had an update on Natalie. Natalie's show at 4 o'clock, which is the next show up. And she is telling me that she's got an interview with Victoria Pommery, who is the director of the Turner Contemporary. So that's going to be really interesting stuff. So do tune in for that at 4 o'clock. But really, just leaves me to say a massive, massive thank you to today's guest, the wonderful Mr. Neil Lakeland, Director of Communications and Marketing at CX. Okay, Neil, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. To Dr. Mark Gilman, Professor Mark Gilman and Dr. Luke Fletcher and the folks from Big Associates for their Engager recorded interview. And a massive thank you to today's show sponsor, Supply My Business. We will be back with you next week. In the meantime, you've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and Hergill Sirkin on the Business Bunker Show here on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on March the 8th.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Clock.